Hey, Mark, I was listening to Paramore the other day, and it really made me think about the amygdala and the limbic system.
You just made those words up, didn't you?
What, Paramore?
We're the Nevermind the Music podcast, where one musician
and one psychologist
talk songwriting and the mind, one song at a time.
We'll hear everything from Green Day and Outkast
to Stevie Wonder and Dua Lipa.
And we mostly try to stay on topic.
Except for when we don't want to.
Nevermind the Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now at Verizon, we're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's our best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, we got you. Visit your local Indianapolis Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits apply over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Hey y'all, Mark here, and I am really excited to bring you this week's episode on Drake's Hotline Bling, and boy are we out of date in a lot of ways about this episode. We mentioned this already on our mailbag episode and on our Grammys coverage earlier this year, but we recorded this episode about Drake quite a while ago, in last spring of 2024. So you've probably picked up by now that most of our episodes were recorded in advance. I had a sabbatical from work, and this podcast grew out of that sabbatical. And so we did a whole bunch of episodes in the spring and summer of 2024. Some of those episodes aired not so long after recording, but some of them aired a lot longer after recording, and this is one of the latter. Why am I talking about this? Because while the song Hotline Bling has not changed so much, the situation with Drake, and specifically with Kendrick Lamar, really has. And I just wanted to tell you all, we know all about the beef. We know a lot about what's happened in the last year. We just didn't really at the time. But most of that stuff hadn't happened at the point we recorded this. This is one of the several reasons that we're really excited as we prep for our season two, where we can record on an ongoing basis and not push out a whole season of content in advance. You may notice in this episode, I knew a lot more about the growing beef between Kendrick and Drake, but Nicole knew a lot more about the allegations against Drake than I did. And fast forward a few months later over the summer, and literally the 8 and 9 year olds in the dugout of the Little League baseball game that I'm coaching, well, assistant coaching, they're talking about what Drake may or may not have done. And meanwhile, Not Like Us, the single from Kendrick Lamar, which is basically one giant Drake diss track in which he actually accuses Drake of pedophilia, among other things. This song won about 5 billion Grammy Awards and also was performed in a very highly anticipated, very awesome Super Bowl halftime performance. All of this, including that Super Bowl halftime performance, is something we will hopefully be able to comment on in real time in next season, when we record on an ongoing basis. But again, that's not the situation this time. All that said, we still think this is a cool episode. It's still fun talking about this song, and we're gonna sound pretty dumb about halfway through this episode. Forgive us. We were just sweet summer children. We didn't know what was about to come. Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Nicole.
And this is Nevermind the Music. Nicole, do you set your phone to ring, or as Drake says, to bling?
No, I perpetually have my phone on silent and also perpetually lose it. It's like a toxic trait.
Is it buzzing even, or is it truly silent?
No, it's truly silent because I'm paranoid that it's going to like go off in a meeting or go off in class. Right. And like, but then I lose it and then I'm trying to buzz it and I can't. It's bad.
You almost wish there was a, I want my phone to be completely silent unless this,
yes.
Right? And you have a panic button you could trigger from a computer or whatever from someone else's phone that would wake it up.
Like, I think that is a thing.
Probably.
Yeah, called like find my phone.
Find my phone. But will it beep it even if it's?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just don't have it set up. And everyone's like, yeah, I got to set up, find
Folks,
your iPhone. Like,
I do research for this podcast, but you know what I don't research? Anything that would actually make my life more convenient.
No.
Because mine's on vibrate, but I still, if I can't find it, I'm not finding that vibration from two rooms away.
You know what we call that, boys and girls? Hyperfixation.
Hyperfixation. Oh, are we getting...
Have you never heard that term?
What's the hyperfixation?
You have a tendency, I do too, to hyperfixate, which means like really detail in to things that don't serve you as well as other things could. Like instead of prepping for the podcast, I am really deep diving on Love is Blind right now.
And instead of fixing my phone woes, I'm hyperfixating on the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Love is Blind is like a really, just to indulge me here, it's a really awesome sociological study on like hookup culture and how like we want intimacy, but we don't want intimacy all at the same time. Like we want to be connected and together, but not too connected and together. So I think that's really relevant in terms of what we're, the song we're talking about today. So,
which is Drake's Hotline Bling, right? That's why we're talking about hooking up. That's why we're talking about cell phones blinging.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? It can only mean one thing.
We're going to find out. Drake's going to tell us, right? He doesn't actually answer. Well, it's okay. Let's get into it. So this song from 2015, it's not really from the album Views. It was added as a bonus track in later versions, but it came out just as a single. He's had a few number ones. This one hit number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100. This feels like one of his biggest hits, though, I would think.
I'm not a huge Drake fan, and I know that that's a controversial thing. And this is probably the only Drake song that I would recognize as a Drake song.
Wow. You wouldn't recognize his voice just from other tunes if you
I don't think I would.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, would you recognize him in a forum meme with the bright colored jacket from this video?
Yeah. Like, iconically, I could pick Drake out of a lineup. If I ever hear a song, I'm like, oh, who sings this? I'm never like, oh, this is a Drake song. And like, people get mad when I say that because Drake fans are like very into him. Like, he has a really strong fan base.
It's funny because like a lot of my students are hip hop fans. Mm. Drake?
He's not hip hop.
That popular in the music major crowd. I'll say that. So like of the young people I interact with, a lot of the time, Drake is not as popular as he is in the mainstream, which is just sort of a interesting reflection of the academy of a bunch of music majors who want to be producers or musicians and stuff like that. I probably should have played this tune already. Here we go.
You used to call me on my cell phone late night when you need my love.
That's the tune. Have you heard We Shop Bling?
No.
Did you have a Wii back in the 2000s?
I had like a Sega Genesis and an original Nintendo back in the 1900s.
Back in the 1900s. Yeah, this was in the 200s, the 2000s. The Wii, there was a thing called the Wii Shop.
Mm-hmm. And you could like buy outfits and stuff?
I think you could just buy games.
Oh, right? That's cool. Oh my gosh. It's very interesting, like the choice to use that song.
Credit to Toonlink and Nosquist, by the way, who made that. Yeah, that is the background music from the Wii Shop on the Wii.
So random.
Very random. But
and
I
like
think,
all the time, that was always, it was always Hotline Bling. It was never anything else. Like they didn't change it up or you couldn't like customize it.
Oh my. Please don't misunderstand. These two producers or mashup artists took the Wii Shop music and pasted it on top of Hotline Bling. The Wii Shop music does not use Hotline Bling as its theme.
I couldn't understand that, like, I'm a kid, I'm going to the Wii Shop to, like, buy a game, and, like, the background music is, like, that track.
Yeah,
I was like,
no,
that doesn't
it's
make...
It's not.
Okay, well, a couple things. I think it should have been, because it's just better.
Fair.
And, like, way to go them for, like,
being good
creative.
Job. Yeah. Okay, so it sounds like you've got some things you maybe want to talk about hookup culture and all that, but I wanted to sort of just talk about the impatience of this song, the frustrated with yourself, frustrated with another person. It feels like Drake is constantly interrupting or surprising himself in this tune. Let's just listen to the very beginning and the very end of Hotline Bling.
You used to call me on my, you used to.
There's a lot of anticipation there.
He's not finishing his sentences, right?
It's annoying.
I would say anticipation's one way to put it. Here's how it ends.
That can only mean one thing. Ever since I left the city.
He's constantly interrupted. And he's interrupted by that ticking clock kind of sound. It's not a ticking clock. It's
like
a drum machine.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of woodblocky because it's been pitch shifted up. This song uses a sample of Timmy Thomas's 1972 hit, Why Can't We Live Together?
Tell me why, tell me why. Everybody wants to live together. Why can't we live together?
You know what? I can see through this example why your music majors don't appreciate Drake. Because that's like lazy. Like you're pulling a sample of a drum machine. Like just put it into your drum machine. Like just do it. I don't understand.
So I have to say, I think it's a cool use of the sample because you speed it up and it gives it this ticking time bomb, almost clock. Sounds kind of like a woodblock, like you mentioned, that creates for me kind of a sense of anxiety in this song. And I think the constant interruptions, him not finishing his sentences at a few points in this song, but also the way that this song that we just heard has a chord progression. Mm-hmm. It's got four chords. There's two chords that repeat, and then it gets to the other two chords. Listen one more time, just as a reference.
Tell me why, tell me why. Why can't we live together? Everybody wants to live together. Why can't we live together?
What Drake does with his sample, he takes just those two chords and loops them seemingly endlessly. While the Timmy Thomas song will go twice and then give us the weird extra chords, Drake does it seven times before it changes. And so there's this sense, I'm talking about interruptions, but also surprise. There's this sense of the anxiety of this chord progression, just forever looping these two chords. And then finally he hits us with the change. Okay, so let's get there. The hook of this song sort of has two parts. Here's the first half.
You used to call me on my cell phone. Night when you need my love.
Right, then that happens again, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of the hook of the song.
Sure.
But what about this?
I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing.
That's also kind of the hook, right?
Yeah, sure.
They always go together, first one and then the other. They each repeat twice. That's like the main centerpiece of this song. I feel like these parts are sort of nostalgic. He's sure. Almost reminiscing back when things were good. You used to call me.
Yeah.
But then he goes in present tense. I know when it's hotline bling, that can only mean one thing, which, listeners, he doesn't actually tell us what it is. I have an idea. But
Drake is such a creep. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. We're going there. Okay.
He's such a creep. He gives me, you say this woodblock gives you anxiety. Drake gives me anxiety. I'm not into him.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Do you want to say more about it?
I think I'm going to have to get into it. I'm going to say what we're all thinking. Everyone that's listening to this podcast is like, are they going to talk about it? And we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
Now at Verizon, we're locking in low prices for 3 years, guaranteed, on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's our best price ever on unlimited welcome, with autopay plus taxes and fees, guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, we got you. Visit your local Indianapolis Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits apply over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
So Drake is an older man. He was like a Nickelodeon star or something. Like that's, it loses credibility to me when child actors like age up, right? Something's off.
Wait, hang on. The only alternative to child actors aging up is child actors not surviving into adulthood.
That happens too. You gotta watch that documentary, man. The thing about Drake that's creepy to me is he used his survival as a child actor to influence, from his point of view, like younger child actors, and often took younger child actors on in like mentorship roles, according to him. But those mentorship roles included him having arguably like kind of icky relationships with younger child actors, like much younger than him. So Millie Bobby Brown, who plays 11 in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Beautiful young woman, right? She's in her 20s now, right? Married, has a great life, right? Drake is 17 years older than her. When Millie Bobby Brown was 14, her and Drake had a relationship. Drake stresses that it was platonic. He was at that point 31 years old, texting a 14-year-old girl, "I miss you so much. I can't wait to see you." Her texting him back, "I miss you too. See you soon." And like, maybe that's harmless, right? Maybe that's harmless. I just know as a parent, if my 14-year-old girl is texting a 31-year-old man despite the context, saying, "I miss you," and he's saying, "I miss you too," I'm going to have questions about that. Both Drake and Millie Bobby Brown stress that their relationship was platonic. Millie Bobby Brown specifically, as just like aesthetically as a human, does look older than she is. That's why she was cast as 11, because she like reads more mature. And it's just, it always like gave me pause about Drake. Like everything I think about it, Drake, like I hear Hotline
Bling. Colored by it.
It's colored by it. And like, what a great song. And it's ruined for me because I just think of him as a 30-year-old man texting a 14-year-old girl. And I think that that's just icky. I don't know. That's my rant about Drake. And it just, it colors this. Because like, then I think, okay, this song is about his phone blowing up. I know he's not talking about 11. Like, I know he's not because of when the song was made. But like, I just think of that.
Well, I thought you were going to, so I don't know anything about the Millie Bobby Brown stuff. I don't know anything about the young folks he's taking under his wing or whatever. But what I thought you were going to go with this song is there is kind of a toxicness to, there's an entitledness to, if I don't get the booty call with this woman, what's she doing with other people? Right.
Yeah. There's like a patriarchal.
She's out with her friends and how dare she? Right. Mm-hmm. And that's that. I thought you were going to go off on that. We can come back to that. But
I can go off on that, too. If like you, because that's like, yeah, it's gross.
That's very common. Like, it's easy to understand somebody feeling that jealousy. Right.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that maybe it's harder to understand texting with a teenager right now.
Yeah, like, I guess like, I mean, we know that, you know, everything I know about hormones and neurotransmitters, right? I'm going to nerd out. Like, we do have this neurochemical called vasopressin that is that feeling of like, how dare, like, I'm going to fight for the people I love and I'm going to be protective over them and like kind of mama bear them. And I know that's not what Drake's talking about here, but it is like a vasopressin response. So like, we're all capable of that.
Right.
But I do think society allows men to have more propriety over women in that, like, how dare you be out with your friends? Like, you need to be with me, like servicing me.
Or sad and lonely like me. Right. Right. Which he might be.
Like, you, how dare you have autonomy when I have needs? Right. To me, that's just gross. Like, it just is.
Look, eventually you and I are going to have some conversations when we start getting into the separating the artist from, like, yeah, there's some music that I would really love to talk about that I'm terrified to talk about because of the stuff I don't want to talk about it, yeah, but we have to. So this will come up in more extreme cases, I worry, in future episodes.
I mean, I kind of love it. I love that, like, we are all three-dimensional and we all have shit under the surface. For me, sometimes that shit does cloud the artistry. I have a harder time than I think you might, from what I know about you.
Separating. I had some major crises about this a few years ago that we will talk about on another podcast, I think. Okay. Can we get back to the song?
Yeah,
or
like,
is it,
you know,
ruined?
We can listen to the song.
Do we just end the episode? We're like, so.
Also, just one more thing. In the video, he looks kind of like a dick.
Okay. All right.
Okay. That's all, yeah, I had to say. Go on. What about,
like I
music?
Said, infinitely memeable, that
it's
video.
Like, what are you doing? You're in like a box? Get over it, Drake.
I think he is in a box.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I like the striking color contrasts of that video. Look, where was I? Where I was we get this loop repeating. We got to play the hooks again one more time, right?
You used to call me on my cell phone late night when you need my love.
And then, of course,
I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing.
And we've got these two chords repeating forever that are sampled from this Timmy Thomas tune. So here's our two chords, B major 7, A minor 7. And remember, I mentioned in the original tune, it just happens twice and then it changes. But this whole section, the chords never change. We get just this loop. And then we come to the verse section. I guess this is the verse. It's not the sort of catchiest hook.
Ever since I left the city, you got a reputation for yourself now.
Now, this part feels negative. I don't think it has the nostalgia. This is all him fixating on what he's lost, what he's missing. And to me, it climaxes at the end when he says this line about how she's...
He's upset that she has a reputation for herself now.
Yeah. He talks about it sort of reaches this climax almost desperately as he talks about she's hanging with women that he doesn't know. And listen to what happens with the chords there.
Glasses of champagne out on the dance floor. Hanging with some girls I never seen before. You used to call me on my cell.
I don't know if you can hear that, but we've had 7 laps and finally the chords change. And the chords are just sampled from that song, but they're kind of out of key. And it feels like a surprise. We're like a minute into the song and finally something has changed.
He's becoming like unhinged and it's reflective in the music.
Yeah, it feels like he's becoming more desperate. And there's this interruption element that he's doing earlier and at the end. There's also this idea of surprise, like he didn't expect this. He got back to Toronto and why is his phone not ringing or he's not getting texts or whatever.
Because she like is living her own best life and he can't effing deal with it.
And it's just the subtle difference between this and this. But the fact that we've heard the other one so many times before we get any change, to me, it's really highlighted. But I feel like this is sort of foreshadowing of a bigger surprise. And this bigger surprise, maybe you hate it because it's kind of Drake's thing. Drake is all about sudden, really significant changes. So we've heard this hook a million times now. We've heard this chord progression a bunch. We've heard even the verse, but this is the bridge, the middle part of the song.
I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing. These days, all I do is wonder if you're bending over backwards for someone else. Wonder if you wrote...
It's just totally different.
Yeah. I like it. I like the shift only because I think it's reflective of that mental state when like you're spiraling and ruminating and like...
This part feels sadder.
Yeah.
It's less angry, more sad.
I like it because Drake's sad.
Yeah. Well, Drake, I mean, the sad Drake, I mean, that's kind of his thing, right? But his other thing is dramatic and sudden contrast in his song. And I think this one's a little different than many of them, but let's go through a few examples. Because what we have here is not only does the tune change, the beat drops out, the chords are in a different order, but just the overall sonic palette is super different. Here's some other tunes where Drake is really jumping into something different. This has Come Through from 2013.
Come through, girl, you know we got things to do. Girl, you know we got things to do, so get your ass in the car and come through.
He's so bossy.
He's bossy?
Yeah.
No,
here,
no, please.
Ask my car. Give me
no,
a
please.
Break,
yeah.
Drake.
Notably, that change happens at the end of the song. We would call this an outro. It does not go back. Here's Furthest Thing. This is from the same album, 2013's Nothing Was the Same.
I still been plotting on the low, scheming on the low. The farthest thing from perfect, like everyone I know. I just been drinking on the low.
And then we end with this.
This the life for me. My mama told me this was right for me. I got him worried.
That's the same song?
Same song. That's the outro, the ending section. Here's March 14 from 2018, record Scorpion.
I got this 11 tatted for somebody, now it's yours. And believe me, I can't wait to get 100 more. Sorry, I'm vintage trying to cover ground.
And then this is an interpolation of the Boys to Men.
Okay.
Sort of, I don't know if you know their second album. This is Khalil Interlude. You'll hear it a bit.
I need shelter from the rain to ease the pain.
I do like that he's using Boys to Men and talking about changing from a boy to a man. I think that that's actually smart. And I like that.
You like that? So you like some of the... Okay, all right.
I like that.
Begrudging
it's,
respect.
It's intellectual. And I like that. But he's such a chameleon. Like, pick a lane.
Well,
I'm
he's got the
really
singing. He's got the rapping. So this is a thing in other hip hop where you have sort of a mashup of two ideas. One well-known example, Kendrick Lamar, Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst. This is from 2012's Good Kid, Mad City. Here's the Sing About Me half of the song. By half, I mean the first 9 minutes or whatever it is.
Oh my gosh.
When the lights shut off and it's my turn to settle down, my main concern, promise that you will sing about me.
And then the second part.
I know I'm good at dying of thirst, dying of thirst, dying of thirst, how many sins?
I mean, I think a key difference between Kendrick Lamar and Drake is like Kendrick Lamar's tone is unmistakably his. Like you can hear that and you know immediately who it is. And
not for, a chameleon.
Not a chameleon. Right, and for Drake, like it could be anybody. It's so like vanilla to me.
Yeah. You know, they're feuding right now. Right.
Are
They've
they?
Got beef. Oh, yeah. About whether they should be considered in the same category.
They shouldn't.
There's a whole thing between the two of them and J. Cole about how powerful they each are. We don't need to get into it.
Drake is a pop singer.
Yeah, there's a difference.
And Kendrick Lamar is not.
I think there's
a
difference in intention behind what they're doing, right?
Yeah, Drake wants to make money and Kendrick Lamar wants to make art. Boom.
Fighting words, boom. All right. Which side is she on, listeners?
It's clear.
look, everybody, I'm from Southern California. You know which side I'm on. But okay, notably, all of these other Drake examples and the Kendrick Lamar example, it's an outro. The song just abruptly changes. And so you could almost say that it's just two songs smashed together. So this is Drake's thing. He does it all the time. But in most cases, unlike Hotline Bling, the original stuff never comes back. Hotline Bling, this extreme contrast, this surprise, this sad sort of reflection happens in the middle of the song and then goes back to the other stuff. We do have that in other kinds of music where almost you have a second song smashed in the middle. A Day in the Life, last song on Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. That's right, listeners, another Beatles example. Here's the music from the first and final parts of the song. That's the John Lennon bit, but in the middle of the song, we get this weird, very Paul McCartney middle bridge that almost has nothing to do with it. Woke up, fell out of bed, dragged a comb across my head. Found the way down. That's back in 1967, but we don't have to go that far back, and we don't have to leave hip-hop. Outkast.
Oh.
Ghetto Music, first song on Speakerbox. This one also has a middle bit, but that isn't the ending. It's so different, but then goes back to the original stuff. Let's listen.
Outkast is so good.
Yeah, and the crazy thing about that is then it goes immediately back to the super fast, intense,
really
electro.
Frenetic, like,
right, totally frenetic. And that's a Patti LaBelle sample with a little bit added to it of her tune Love, Need, and Want You from 1983. But there, it doesn't feel like a reflection, a let's be sad in the middle. It feels almost like a postmodern collage of just chaos, sort of on some level, that, which makes sense. I mean, that's an Andre song on the Big Boy half of that double album. Like it's all just about things being smashed together. I'm not going to say that's what the song's about, but it feels sort of like a different thing. Whereas with Drake, I feel like having it here, it kind of adds to the anxiousness of this song.
Sure.
To have this weird, sad part in the middle and then to have it go back to the hook.
Mm.
What are you thinking?
Like always for me, I'm wondering if these musicians, these artists are making these choices with intention to reference the emotionality of what they're singing about. Did Drake write this song?
He co-wrote the song.
Co-wrote it.
Well,
interesting.
Look, I mean, that's a... I didn't dive deep on the authorship of this, but generally speaking, there's with hip-hop and a lot of pop,
sure,
there's production credit share. There's all sorts of, like, the producer might take some. There's a top line writer. There's other people involved. So
when he wrote the song, was he like, you know what? I'm going to use this motif because it speaks to conceptually what I want to do here. It makes so much sense with what he's talking about. And he's taking us through this emotional journey of how he used to hook up with someone and she would call him and it would make him feel happy and then she'd come over and whatever. And then all of a sudden she like gained autonomy from his predatory behavior. Those are my words. And is now living her own life and he can't handle it. And you can see his like, this is a stretch, but like his like descent inside his own head and like kind of ruminating. And I think that I'm just, my question is to Drake, if you're listening, did you mean to do that? Right? Like, is that, was that your intention? That's what I'm thinking about. And then also when I hear this song, I just think of maladaptive intimacy behaviors of humans in general.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Like, so that's a different direction.
Get into it. What are you talking about?
So I think of this idea that like about hookup culture and how I say all the time, I grew up in the 1900s. Like I met my long-standing partner before the internet.
Wow. Yeah.
Right. Like MySpace was just coming online when like, you know, me and my husband met. And we didn't have to go through like the stuff that this younger generational cohort, like Gen Z and below, are like going through now in terms of like how they find partnership and how intimacy is getting so twisted for these cohort. I talk to my students, you know, my psychology classes about intimacy quite a bit. And I ask them, you know, like, what's the most intimate thing? Like, we're having conversations that intimacy is not just sexual intimacy, and that sex is actually not an intimate act anymore, and that students sometimes report that they feel like it's more intimate to hold hands with someone or to go out to dinner with them and to be in public with them. They feel like being in public with someone is more intimate than being alone with them in a sexual relationship. And I really struggle to understand that because of my own culturation and my own like cohort. And the cohort effects that are placed on me, you know, I codify as Gen X. And it just hits really different. And I'm sad about that. I don't know. And that's, I think of that and I think of this Drake song and how it seems so territorial and it just seems really toxic. And, you know, I worry. I think this Drake song really has me worrying about humanity. And I know I said I'm going to keep it light today.
I have a lot of thoughts about what you just said, but I'm struck by, well, I don't want to get too distracted by this. I think you and I are about the same age. You identify as Gen X.
I do.
I do not identify. I identify as millennial.
Do you?
We are on the cusp, but it is a, there is a cultural allegiance that you can declare.
I do. I have a strong cultural allegiance with Gen X. I do not consider myself a millennial.
Except for when it pays better. Except for when you get the benefits of
it. No, the only thing that I truly, truly do relate to the millennial cohort, and it's so funny that we're talking about Hotline Bling because it's about phone calls.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would do almost anything to avoid making a phone call. And if my phone rings, my outgoing voicemail is like, don't leave me a voicemail, just text me.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Like, as I'm not interested in my hotline blinging, thank you.
Right. So, that's why you have it not even on vibrate.
No, I don't. Yeah,
for sure.
I'll, like, sit and watch the phone ring and wait for them to send me a text after. I, like, can't hang.
So the level that you can empathize with the millennials and the Zoomers doesn't extend as far as the ethos of the dating culture Mm-mm. that your students are experiencing
No.
or folks Drake's age or younger
No,
are experiencing.
I very strongly feel Gen X as a vibe. What's a Zoomer?
Zoomer?
Yeah.
Gen Z.
Gen Z.
You've never heard anybody
No,
call them Zoomers?
I've never heard that.
And listeners, did I just make that up? If I made that up.
Why would you call it that? Because they Zoomed during COVID?
No, I think the term Zoomer predates anybody using Zoom.
Is that where Zoom got it? It would be really smart marketing on Zoom's behalf.
If they want to be associated with teenagers and 20-somethings, sure. Even though it's all the Gen X and millennials that have to use it at work.
So dumb.
All the time.
Hate it. We can all agree it's the worst way to communicate. I don't know, man. I'm on the fence.
Telegraph?
Yeah, like a pigeon.
What I was hoping you could help me get to the bottom, because you were wondering about the intent of it.
Yes.
Like, how does the constant interruptions of the song, the surprise of the sections changing, relate to the anxiety and the possessiveness? There's something about the jealousy he's experiencing that like relates to these surprising moments of contrast and are almost knocking him speechless. The song ends with a sound of what sounds almost reminiscent of a ticking clock when he's in the middle of a sentence.
Right. It's a call to like intrusive thoughts in general, I think. And I think a lot of us experience intrusive thoughts and a lot of us are able to regulate them. I think when we get into toxic relationships, it references people that have intrusive thoughts and act on them. Right. And
right.
This song to me, it starts off as like reminiscing of a past really kind of nice quote relationship. But then he does start ruminating and kind of unraveling and saying things like, you know, now you have a reputation for yourself. You're hanging with your girls that he's never seen before. And it gets
because that matters.
Because it matters that he doesn't know them. So how dare you be the main character in your own story? Like Drake says, I'm the main character in your story, which is problematic, right? In a healthy relationship. It's possessive. You know, maybe it's this interruption that we're seeing musically is referencing the interruption that he's getting internally, right? I'd like to think that he knows that this is not great behavior and he's stopping himself. I would just like to say, Millie Bobby Brown, if you're out there listening, like, I do believe you and your story. Please don't sue me for libel in any way. And Drake as well. Like, I'm not trying to defame you in any way. I just think that, like, it's important.
Right.
So, Mark, on a scale of 1 to 10, when your phone rings, how anxious do you get?
When my phone vibrates?
Yes, or silently.
So, I still have my Los Angeles area code.
Okay.
Phone number. So even though I live in the Boston area and it's been way too long to still have that, but what it is sort of like automatic caller ID.
Yeah.
If I don't know you, you're not calling me from Los Angeles. I'm sure all the movie producers calling me for my next big break are disappointed to hear this. Mm. But so I have sort of like automatic screening. If I see a Boston area phone number, I'm like, uh-oh, this is the kid's school or something like that. But if I see my area code, which is most of the junk calls I get, most of the spam I get are Los Angeles area codes. And so I just know to ignore it for the most part, let it go to voicemail or whatever that I may or may not remember to check. So point being, not that anxious. I've trained myself to just know that it's probably not something worth answering. Why? Where are you at?
Oh, I'm very anxious when my phone rings. If I don't know the number, even if I know the number, I'm like, ooh, I don't want to talk. Like, it takes a lot for me to talk on the phone.
Mm.
Like, I have a couple girlfriends that, like, love to call and just talk. Like, I'll chit-chat, but I'm not just gonna, like, if I need something from someone, I'm not calling them. Like, I'll never call you unless, like, I'm in danger or something and I need my podcast co-host to come and help me. To make a phone call for me takes a lot.
I just realized, like, is it possible that Drake's completely misunderstanding the situation? You used to call me on the cell phone. Dude, maybe she's just texting now.
And
she's moved with the times.
Mm.
He's waiting for a phone call. And the only people calling him are people who want to know if he wants to add solar to his house.
Right.
Or a notification about the trash pickup day being changed from the city he lives in.
Yeah.
When he's waiting for this lady to call and she's not calling anybody anymore.
And she's like DMing him or like
sending
him a snap or something. And he just doesn't have Snapchat. Like, ugh.
Right.
Maybe that's the problem.
Never Mind the Music is hosted by me, Mark Papany, and Nicole Thatcher. I also produce the podcast. Please be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating and a review.
Let us know what you think on social media. We're Never Music Pod on all major platforms. Mark, why are we not Never Mind the Music? That would make way more sense.
Never Mind the Music is one or two characters too long for X. Cannot have an X handle that's over 15. I think it's 16 or 17 characters. And Never Mind Music... already taken. Shout out to whoever Nevermind Music is.
I hope you're doing great things. You can email us, I guess, at nevermusicpod@gmail.com. And every so often, we'll do a mailbag episode where we'll answer all of your burning questions. So if you have any questions about our Twitter handle or X handle, let us know. Thanks for listening. Hey, Mark, I was listening to Paramore the other day, and it really made me think about the amygdala and the limbic system.
You just made those words up, didn't you?
What, Paramore?
We're the Nevermind the Music podcast, where one musician
and one psychologist
talk songwriting and the mind, one song at a time.
We'll hear everything from Green Day and Outkast
to Stevie Wonder and Dua Lipa.
And we mostly try to stay on topic.
Except for when we don't want to.
Never mind the music, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Devin Whitmire. People from South Carolina, like myself, are proud of their state, but even we don't know every nook and cranny or every piece of culture or history. To explore places that are off the beaten path, you have to talk to the people there, because their stories, their ideas, make everything come together. From Discover South Carolina, it's the Palmetto Porch. To learn more, visit scpalmettoporch.com.